Hello, and welcome to your soda tax dollars at work, Legends of Philadelphia.
Thank you, Mayor Kenny.
These are your hosts, Tony Tab Trove, and his schoolyard chum, Johnny Jolt Zeta. I'm Brian Barks Bierman, helping out on editing duty.
These are like second-rate sodas.
Yeah.
Are they any of those still around?
Yeah.
Barks was pretty good.
I think Barks is still around, yeah.
That makes my throat hurt.
You might be wondering, is this podcast made with real sugar or high fructose corn syrup? Well, in addition to being Philadelphia natives, Trove and Zito have a lifestyle brand, South Delaney, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts and carbonation. Lots of times, customers will ask, what's a birch beer? Or they want to know why there's no long, hot, flavored fizzy drink. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you.
You mean to tell me there's a Celray soda, but there's no long, hot soda? I'm beside myself.
Celray's king, baby.
There might be one.
Yeah, send your Celray to dear old Captain Tony. If you're a Celray lover, come on by.
Do they still? You can still get it.
Yeah, but it's hard to find. Federal Donuts or Federal Chicken, they used to serve it, and they don't anymore. And every time I go in, I ask for it, knowing they don't have it. So, can I have your Celray soda? And they go, we don't have that anymore. I'm like, oh. You should tell the upper management about that. And I do it every time. And my wife, Joanna, she hates when I do that. The employees, they don't know. They can't control it.
They were like, that's weird celery guy was here again.
I think he has a fake mustache this time.
You're like trying to start a buzz for celery soda.
He didn't even buy anything. He just asked a lot of questions.
I'm super excited for this one. I love Frank's Red Hot. I didn't know that.
No.
It actually is my favorite hot sauce because I don't really like hot things. But
wait, there's like an elephant in the room. The Eagles may won or lost the Super Bowl when this is. We're not allowed to talk about it. Can I say it?
I'm in the middle of this hilarious bit.
I didn't realize you had more.
This
to
is
that.
Like if somebody's doing the parrot sketch from Monty Python, and you just walked in the middle of it. Everybody was dying. They love this hilarious bit.
Never heard it before. Some people were fooled.
Yes, I guess in other news,
the Eagles won or lost. What do you guys think? Who do you think they won? Anything?
They won.
We can't talk.
We're
about
from
it.
The past. We.
We.
In the future, people wear socks on their hands and gloves on their feet.
On Monday. Yeah, so you're probably hungover if they won, or if you're lost, you're hungover.
I don't know why anybody would want to listen to this either way.
To throw up.
To throw up.
Yeah, this is a palate cleanser. This is a no matter win or lose, you had to go back to work today.
So we're sorry, or we did it. We didn't jinx it. We all know that.
This time, no one can blame us.
I wanted to cover the Eagles, but I was outvoted.
Well, we jumped
2-1.
We jumped the gun on the World Series. We jumped the gun on the Sixers championship.
We said the Flyers were going to Stanley. We thought it was their year. We thought the Stanley Cup was going to be.
If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I say we should do, when the Sixers go to the NBA Finals, we should do an episode. Because then it's like, now we should see if we're on a streak now, you know?
No, I think if the Eagles won and we didn't do an Eagle-centric episode between
you're right.
Then we never do it again.
The opposite.
We do the opposite.
I guess so.
Right.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why you make the rules.
That's why.
I'm just a very superstitious person. I'm more superstitious than anything else. So, and sports, as we all know, is decided by superstition.
Yeah, but it's everybody's superstition canceling out the other person's superstition.
Which is why we all have
How many lucky T-shirts or sitting in the right spot?
Right.
You didn't wear that same underwear. So that's why we lost, Todd.
There's a lot.
My favorite is
the Ryan,
the one family member, whenever they come into the room, the Eagles start losing or your team starts losing. So you got to go stand in the kitchen. Mom, you got to go stand in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm bad luck. God damn it. Get rid of this cat.
That's one of my favorites.
I hope everybody's too hungover to listen to this one Monday.
Yeah, me too. I hope no one listens to this. I hope everyone's out celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
Long before the cola war was fought for domination over the taste buds of American youth, local brands dominated the refrigerators of families in the Delaware Valley. Coke and Pepsi took a backseat to a hometown favorite, but you'd only know that if you lived within 50 miles of Philadelphia's City Hall. Join us as we crack open a can of Frank's Soda.
Frank's Soda.
Frank, thanks, Frank. Didn't they used to have this at Texas Wieners?
They used to have this everywhere. Frank's was ubiquitous. Mm. But yeah, you could still get it at Frank's up until the very end.
Now, if I remember correctly, it was like half the price of a Pepsi or a Coke, right?
Of a real soda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had their machines there were still like a quarter when Coke and Pepsi were 60 cents.
See? They were all about the working man.
I have very fond memories of Frank's Soda. I remember mostly from vending machines. Whenever I would approach a vending machine in the South Philly area, it was almost always a Frank's vending machine. They were just everywhere when I was growing up. There was one outside of my school. There was one outside of the Rite Aid. There was one outside of where my mom would pay her PGW bill. I saw these things constantly. And, you know, if you were good, if I was being, you know, well-behaved or whatever, my mom would buy me a sugary drink to ensure that I wouldn't be well-behaved later.
Thanks, Lorraine. And they had flavors that weren't like regular colas. Yeah.
Yes. It wasn't just cola and lime. Is that what Sprite is?
Or
lime?
Celray.
Or Celray, the classic. What every child wants Celray soda.
Love it.
Yam soda, celery soda,
crab apple soda,
crab apple,
the worst apples,
salt soda,
salt,
boot beer.
Stop it. Beet soda.
I have more. Should I just wait or?
I know you're acquiring them as we're going to
sprinkle them.
Sprinkle them.
So yeah, I also like most things for me, it was about the packaging. Frank's had really great packaging, and Coke and Pepsi always kind of looked the same, but I didn't know about the change. I didn't know that the factories were changing over or they made a design choice. But in the 90s, Frank's had a very specific look, and it kind of resembled the Hers potato chip bags and how shiny and color coordinated it was. And it was very attractive to me.
Do you think this inspired Frank's fluids on the Always Sunny program? His soda line? Wolf Cola.
Wolf Cola.
You know Danny DeVito has had a Frank soda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
No, he loves Celray, I heard.
He would be a Celray man. A man of class and dignity.
I read that in page 6.
Page 6.
Drove, do you have a favorite Frank's soda flavor?
I guess black cherry, right?
Yeah, that's their most famous one.
That's the best one. That's the best one.
Yeah, I love that one growing up. I also really liked vanilla cream. How about it, Bierman? What was your favorite?
Vanilla cream.
I like the grape and the orange soda. That's good.
I really
grape soda in a can is really
it is the best.
I think I still think to this day, soda in a can is better than in
what?
A plastic bottle. Also.
No, bottle's
it
best.
Tastes better. It gets colder. It gets colder, and therefore it tastes better.
I kind of agree. Well, I kind of agree. I wouldn't turn down a glass bottle, but I kind of agree. I'm gonna tell a story, and I don't know if it's not funny or appropriate. We could cut this, but when
does that stop us?
When has that ever stopped us before?
Here we go. The reptilians again.
9/11.
The government. 9/11. 9/11.
I gotta edit this out every week.
When I was a kid, my like a little kid, like 8, 9, 10 years old, my dad would take me and my brother out to these Jersey farms to pick our own tomatoes for the canning season, and then we'd like take them home, and you know, Nona would
canning. What does that mean? What does that mean for the non Italian Americans?
You make your
there?
Tomato paste all at once in August, and then you like you partition it out, you sprinkle it throughout the rest of the year. And so we would do this, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. It's messy. It's disgusting. And on insult to injury, on your way to the fields to pick tomatoes, you pass by all the tomatoes that the farmers have already picked that you could just walk off with. But my dad had...
they're not fresh.
Well, he had free labor, so he took us out to the fields. And well, the thing that I did like appreciate about going to the farm and working, you know, for I guess it would be like 3 or 4 days where we would
working for the man,
working for the man. Well, one thing I really loved about going out that way
get
was
get to work, John and Michael, pick them tomatoes.
These lazy kids,
with their video games.
One thing I did enjoy about going out there was when we would break for lunch. There was a Frank's soda machine, and we would sit in the shade that the Frank's soda machine generated, and we would eat our sandwiches and have Frank's sodas.
Did you wipe your head with
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. We were...
Yeah, just like the Shawshank Redemption. I knew you were going to say that. I just knew you were going to say that.
He bought everybody Frank's.
And for that moment, John and Michael were free.
And the other very specific, and I have another very specific memory of Frank's. My grandmom, my mom's mom, lived around the corner from the distributor, the beverage distributor on 23rd and Pashunk, 24th and Pashunk.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was a kid, she would send my brother and I over there to buy soda and beer and stuff. And she had like a little back room off her, a little porch room off her back door. And they would keep all the soda and stuff in there to keep it cold. So they had like tons and tons and tons of soda because they lived around the corner from the beverage place, and it was just like Frank's all the way to the ceiling, orange soda, grape soda. And my grandmom and my cousin, they went through it. They must have had it in their breakfast cereal. They were just drinking it constantly.
Is that why you guys have those cavities?
Yeah, it's
it was like more sugary, I feel like, than
that they had it. That's how they were able to
more sugar.
It was how they competed with the big guys, you know?
Yeah.
Extra sugar.
And like you said, they had flavors that you couldn't, you didn't think of, when you think of Coke, you think of only cola. When you think of 7-Up, you think of only lime or lemon lime, whatever.
They didn't have crustacean punch. The only Frank's had that.
Crustacean punch.
And ginger whale. No one else had that.
You really do have an infinite list.
I only got two more.
Frank's Beverages was founded by Jacob Frank in 1885. Jacob was a Russian immigrant who made lemon soda from freshly squeezed lemons on the streets of South Philadelphia.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
He made it within the street?
He made it in the street.
Like he like stepped on like the curb and just...
That's how he squeezed all the lemons. He just stepped on them off the edge of the curb.
Oh. Well, I can't believe his last name is Frank. Yeah. I thought it was from his first name.
Nope.
What was
name.
His first name?
Jacob.
Jacob.
We don't know. Nobody knows.
No one knows. my wife Joanna says that she never met a normal Frank. So no offense to all the Franks listening. We're huge into Frank
and
community.
You should never trust anyone with two first names. So Jacob Frank, very unreliable, very untrustworthy. By 1895, Frank worked his way up from a tiny bottle shop to the largest privately owned bottling company in the Philadelphia area.
The American Dream, as they call it.
Mm. Their first factory was on 6th and Moore Street, and they employed almost 100 people.
Whoa, I know where that is.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's that warehouse space that they are tearing down to put up townhouses right now.
You can say that about like a lot of places, but yes.
Yeah, you could. Right, you shot in the dark. It's probably true.
Pretty much, yeah. You throw a dart in the city of Philadelphia map, and
they'll say that about South Fellini someday. Is there a T-shirt shop here? Yep.
No, they won't.
It's a condo.
No, it's a condo. Well,
didn't there used to be a massage parlor here?
There used to be a massage parlor here.
1507 East Passyunk Avenue has a sordid history.
1507 had a...
It's haunted. It's haunted.
A more popular business. Just for the record, it was a massage parlor before we moved in. Nah. It still isn't. It isn't. Don't ask for a massage. You're not going to get one.
Trove will still do the tip and kiss anyone. If you ask nicely.
I'll tip and kiss anyone. I don't touch anyone. I'm a non-toucher. Everyone knows that. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to touch you.
I don't touch anybody. I don't except touch anybody, dogs.
Except for pups. Yeah. Ears, snoot, belly. They get massages. Your dog massages.
I'll massage your
free.
Dog.
Free.
You're making it a creepier.
Why, I look at you dead in the eyes.
Frank's was a family business. It looks like brothers and cousins, wives and sisters all worked together. As the years ticked on, the children and the grandchildren got in on the act as well, many of them taking executive leadership roles.
Do you think Jacob Frank was like, hey, if y'all can pump out some more kids so we can keep this place running the next couple decades, because they're going to work here someday.
Yeah.
If you could have like 12 kids, that would really do me a favor.
As it inspired Zito's dad to put his kids to work.
He only had two, but they had to work as hard as 7 kids.
It definitely felt that way. That consistency, keeping it in the family, helped build a memorable brand. The Red Franks delivery trucks were familiar sights at corner stores throughout the Philadelphia area. Their soda vending machines could be found in every cafeteria or public space in the city. Demand was so high that vending machines littered Broad Street and Penn's Landing.
Dominance.
Cultural dominance.
There were tarantula cream soda machines all over. That's all I got, because Utah, the other one was going to be foot grapes, but you already did a joke about stepping on lemons with your foot.
No, so. cut my foot joke. That was yours is better. No, yours
gone.
Is better.
It's gone. No, it's gone.
I'm sorry. Frank's specialized in fruity beverages. They also had a great cream soda and a pretty famous birch beer. But the black cherry...
Pretty famous.
Pretty famous. Nothing to write home about, but you've heard of it.
And also ran birch beer.
Well, look, they're competing with Pennsylvania birch beer, which is like it's like the original. So, you know, they're doing their best.
Yeah, they're crushing it. They're crushing it. Everything's not like, you know, like Diet Mountain Dew with no caffeine. You know what I mean? Some like weird specific thing. Or Celray soda. You know what I mean? Where it's for the hardcore audience.
Right. But Frank's Black Cherry Wishniak has become the stuff of legends. The fruity dark red soda paired perfectly with hoagies, cheesesteak, soft pretzels, and other Philadelphia fare.
It goes with everything.
It does. It's like a
denim jacket. It goes with everything. Always cool.
I like this, but I said this before on an episode, but I liked Canada Dry's cherry soda, which was another local soda, and it wasn't black.
Canada Dry's local? Different.
Well, we looked it up.
Canada?
We looked. That's what I thought. But they like bottled it here or something.
Oh. Oh, that's right. We talked about, because I said that song Kind of a Drag. We always say Canada Dry.
Sounds Canada Dry.
Right.
But that they don't make anymore.
Now, isn't it true that like no one truly knows how to say the word Wishniak correctly? It's like Worcestershire sauce, Wishniak.
Schuylkill.
Schuylkill. Passyunk.
Apparently it comes from the Polish word Wisnia, and Wishniak also refers to a semi-sweet cherry liqueur from Poland. Wishniak is a cordial made in Russia and Eastern Europe with sugar, cherries, and vodka. Apparently, Frank's food scientists were taste testing some new flavors at the Frank's Beverage Company in the 1950s when Mulford Frank, then president of the company, tried a new soda being made from Bing cherries. He said, "This reminds me of Wishniak," and the name stuck.
What's a Bing cherry?
It's like
what?
It's like more sour, I think.
Yeah, it's got a tart. Right? I think tart.
Wait,
they
had food scientists in South Philly?
That's a generous description of what they were doing.
It was his son-in-law, he was just like, you know, like, what was he really doing all day?
Well, this is
loaded on cherries.
They're using all natural flavoring. No, they're not pumping any yellow dye or red 5 into this. So it's clean living. It's all fruits and carbonation.
It's clean. It's pretty much diet food.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely healthier than the water was back then, right?
It's like in Rome when they would drink wine instead of cleaner than the water.
Cleaner than the water. Yeah. So is it pronounced Wisniak, Wishniak? The people at Frank say it's...
I would say Wishniak. I guess I would have said Wishniak.
Trove, do you weigh in on this? Do you have an opinion?
No, I think that there is no true answer.
You like that it's kind of amorphous. It changes. You know, you kind of just go, person.
Oh, yeah, Wishniak, and they go, oh yeah, that one.
Worcestershire
sauce. Yeah. Yeah, no one knows. There is no real answer. It's
just mumble it.
You just wing it. Mm. How many sodas begin with a W?
Yeah, I guess it narrows it down. People mangle the name all the time. I looked it up online, and it's pronounced in YouTube videos differently. But I saw one of Larry Menti, former local anchor and email hacker, calling it Black Cherry Wishniak.
Not wrong. It's legally, legally safe.
Alicia Lane, you're a victim. Larry Menti, you're a criminal.
Larry Menti called it Black Cherry Wishniak during a broadcast, and Philly's great Richie Asburn set him straight in front of an audience of millions.
So what did he say? What did Whitey say?
He said it's pronounced Wishniak.
Richie Asburn's been around for quite a while. Larry Menti...
I feel like that's... That's official now. That's canon.
Do you care? Do you trust anything coming out of Larry Menti's mouth?
Richie Asburn, Greg Luzinski, and Dave Cash Jr. were all spokesmen for Frank Soda. Their slogan, "If it's Frank's, thanks," was a frequent refrain on the radio during baseball game broadcasts.
That's a great slogan.
Yeah, I wish it was more clever, but like, how do you beat that?
They would mix it up sometimes. It's different variations of thanks and Franks. As long as you say those two words, that's enough.
Yeah, it rhymes.
It rhymes. If it rhymes, it's true.
That's, yep.
Yep.
From 1961 to 1963, Jim Henson's Muppets produced 7 8-second TV ads for Frank's ginger ale and orange nectar soda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I always liked that it was called orange nectar, by the way. It's not just orange soda. It's orange nectar.
No, oh, wow, because Jim Henson, not oh, wow, because of the soda.
Oh,
flavor.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, Jim Henson, that's cool, too. We've covered a lot of Philadelphia Muppet crossover in the last 3 years. There's Sesame Place. Both the Sixers mascots and the Phillies mascots came from Muppet alumni, right?
Humble beginnings, Jim Henson.
So the ads starred Frank and Fink in short 8-second spots that involved physical comedy in which Frank Soda would be used to solve problems and Fink would thank him for it. The puppets kind of look like a proto Kermit and a hatless Fozzie Bear to me.
So I've seen other... I haven't seen...
A frog and a bear. See America. What's that?
I haven't seen these, but I know that they did like coffee commercials, but they would do them for different like coffee companies. So they would just reshoot the commercial instead of saying whatever. They said whatever, so... I wonder if they did the same thing with soda. If they just had like a bunch of local soda contracts and they just like, it's just like, this one's Frank's. All right, so he's Frank and Fink now.
Well, apparently Frank and Fink are repurposed puppets from those coffee commercials. And the commercials are original, and the Frank's logo is all over these commercials. So they're not just dubbed, they're reshot. They're shot specifically for Frank's. But they may have gone on to use these puppets in other soda as well. I know for a fact that they use them in coffee and tea, like you said.
That's how like he got. That's how he started making his name, was from that, because they were just like, oh, these cute little puppet things on TV.
So like,
it was better than any other commercial.
One of the commercials I watched was Fink is in a burning building, and then Frank shows up as a fireman, and the edge of his hose looks like a Frank's soda bottle. And when he sprays it, it quenches the fire and Fink's thirst. And he says, "Is that Frank's? Thanks." And it's several variations.
I think it would make the fire worse. Like, you know, like if you pour water on a grease fire, it makes it worse.
Don't pour Frank's on a grease fire.
On a fire, it'll make it worse.
That way, we're covering our ass if we get sued. If somebody does it, we told you not to do it.
Soda is not an effective anti-flammable device.
Or hand sanitizer.
Also. By the 1960s, Frank's was forced to move from the South Philadelphia location it had been since it opened because the streets were too narrow for tractor trailers to pass through.
That's such a Philadelphia problem.
I've seen them get tractor trailers up and down Moore Street. I wonder if it was the space of the trailers or how people were parking on corners that prevented the trucks from being able to turn.
I'm sure it sucked either way, if you were trying to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Trucks were skinnier in the 50s and they got fatter.
It's because they got high fructose.
Just like America.
It's because they have high fructose corn syrup in there instead of real sugar.
Was there like a new Frank's, like new Coke, when they added and everyone hated it?
Now with less rats.
You guys know that conspiracy theory about new Coke?
Oh, that they changed it because to switch from sugar to
So people wouldn't know the difference when they went back. I always think about that.
I don't think they did that. I think that was they just fucked up.
Oh. Well, I believe. And the reptilian decided. What's that?
I went down a Max Headroom. There's a Max Headroom fan site.
You brought up Max Headroom last episode, yes.
Did I? Oh.
Yeah, you said about the
signal hijacking.
The cable signal hijack, yeah.
All right, I'll cut that.
Well, I just mean the audience is familiar with Max. Your love of Max Headroom.
I've never even seen the show. Headroom.
It's going to become your thing now.
Show. I just no. Please don't. I've never seen.
Bierman loves Max Headroom.
No, I don't.
Headroom. Max Bierman Room.
Max Beer Room. There you go.
Max Beer Room.
No. Editing this. You took engineering from me, but you can never take editing. Or inflation. That's mine. That's my thing.
Or inflation.
The Frank's bottling plants moved to G and Luzerne Streets, where it became a commercial landmark in Philadelphia for many years.
Is that North Philly? That's
it's
where
Northeast,
G Street is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's the
Northeast.
Yeah. The business expanded into bottling for other big brands. The firm bottled Yoo-Hoo chocolate drink, Schweppes mixers, Nestle's iced tea, Evian, and Poland Springs bottled water. They expanded their
own. Yoo-Hoo is not real chocolate. It's like.
It's a chocolate drink. It's not real milk.
Chocolate drink. Oh.
Yoo-Hoo is a classic.
Yeah, there's no lactose.
Yoo-Hoo is
in
a classic.
It.
It's gross, but it's a classic.
At this time, Frank's took the opportunity to expand their own flavor assortment to include grape, cola, Sun Up, and pineapple.
What was Sun Up?
It looks like it was a lemon-lime mix.
Oh.
Okay.
Like a Sprite. So like
7-Up.
So they had a lemon and they had a lime, it looks like, but then they combined them, yeah.
They had a baby soda.
And it's funny to think of these things being invented for the first time. By the time we were kids in the 80s and 90s, these flavors of soda are ubiquitous. It's as if they always existed. It must have been like, well, combine the lemon and the lime. Must have been so innovative in the moment.
Well, it's like our generation and OK soda. Now everybody's drinking OK sodas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But were you there when OK soda was invented? No. We were.
We saw it. We saw that car crash in real time. But even all of these unique tastes weren't enough to give Frank's an edge during the great cola wars of the early 80s. With Pepsi and Coke snatching up increasingly popular spokespeople, Frank's decided to get in the game themselves. They contracted Patti Smith and her band Scandal to be in their latest commercial.
Not the famous Patti Smith, the other one.
Yeah. Smith spelled
that's
MS.
That's the Hoagie Way video.
What was their song? Did they do Goodbye to You?
Yeah, they did Goodbye to You, yeah.
That's a good song.
Patti Smith, SMYTH.
Patti Smith Jr.
If you're interested in this commercial, you can check out our Hoagie Wave video, our inaugural Hoagie Wave video.
On our YouTube channel.
Subscribe.
Smash that like button. The ad features Patti leading the band in the recording studio as they lay down the tracks for a very 80s jingle about soda flavors. You're digging each day, you take us along, when it's time to play, you're singing our song. Frank's, popping with flavor, pick up an orange and chug it on down. Drive like Jerry, the greatest around. Ever you're thirsty and there's no time to waste, pick up a Frank's. The song is catchy, and it was played nonstop on local television. It may have even contributed to Patti Smith's later success, as Goodbye to You dropped not long after this, rocketing her to MTV stardom, at least for a minute.
So everybody was like, I like her. She's that soda gal.
Yeah,
and
she
was. Like, I guess we'll make this B-minus song a success. That's a good song.
Goodbye to You is all right. Come on.
It's a B-plus song.
It's a hit, baby.
Dude, it's just waiting for
like meant something.
It's just waiting for a needle drop in a prestige television show.
Yeah. Were they from around here?
I don't know. This isn't a Scandal podcast, but maybe. We should look that up.
Kind of seems like this is you drop the ball, not me asking a crazy question.
I'm just trying to avoid responsibility.
We'll never know. It's impossible to find out. She's from New York. Like,
I don't know. Why would you bring up Scandal right now?
Unfortunately, even the power of 80s music wasn't enough to keep Frank's alive after the market domination of the big two soft drink manufacturers.
By Coca-Cola and Pepsi, it got crushed.
Things were looking grim.
How did Doc Brown stick around, but Frank's couldn't?
Well, I think these soda companies started to get bought up by each other and merged, and that's why Coca-Cola and Nestle and, you know, why they own so many of these brands now. But back in 1989, things were looking grim as Philadelphia City Council passed new regulations to limit the number of vending machines in public walkways.
Oh.
So that's, I guess, why you saw a lot of those Frank's vending machines disappear. I remember them being outside of parking lots on Broad Street, and then they just weren't one day.
This city's been anti-soda from the get-go. We
I
all
really
know
like
it.
Soda.
I'm not a huge fan of soda either, but growing up, I was like definitely addicted to it. When I was able to start making my own purchases at the corner store as early as, you know, fifth grade, I started buying soda as big a can as I could get.
I'm getting a big gulp. I'm doing it.
A big gulp. It's a lot of soda.
Sales were in free fall because the loyal customer base that had kept them afloat for so many years fled to New Jersey and the outlying suburbs of Philadelphia. The company's range began to shrink, and their shelf space in supermarkets was gobbled up by new alternatives to soda. So at the same time, all of this
water. What is this?
Wait, you guys, you ever go to the Acme on Argan Avenue and they have a, like a section, it says New Age Drinks?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And it's like seltzer water.
Yeah.
Whenever we go, I always go, incense, peppermint. It's like, what is this? New Age sodas. New Age drinks.
Do you know about smart drinks from like the 90s?
Like smart
like
water?
Like raves. It was called like smart drinks. They would serve it at like raves that didn't have a liquor license. It was just like fruity smoothie things that people would drink when they were like doing ecstasy, and they were called smart drinks. They make a joke about it on the I'm breaking our Simpsons rule. I also broke it last week, but they make a joke about it. Otto drinks one, and he's like, oh, he's like, wow, it's one of those new smart drinks, and he drinks it, and he's like, oh, I've wasted my life.
I remember in the indie sleaze days, there would be the vitamin water, and there was no vitamins in it.
Do you remember? Oh, right, yeah. Wasn't a 50-cent drink?
It would be like, come to the M room, it's free vitamin waters, and I guess you put vodka in or something. I don't know, but there was no vitamins in vitamin water, and it was kind of like that.
But back in the 90s, I guess the kind of drinks that I'm talking about are more like crazy juice boxes, like Capri Suns, and Kool-Aid was doing those plastic bottles, a single serving plastic bottles worth of Kool-Aid. So it was like things like that were taking over, and they had national name recognition, and Acme and Food Lion are kind of like, well, you know, Frank's only sells to this certain group of people. Nobody else knows the brand name. So I could either give up shelf space to these guys or definitely sell the Kool-Aid. 10 pallets of Ecto Cooler, please.
Ecto Cooler, yep.
Ecto Cooler was good.
Slimer's favorite drink.
It's made of Slimer's, right?
It's made of Slimer, yeah.
In 1990, Frank's was bought out by C&C Cola and moved the whole
Music Factory.
I should have paused. And moved the whole operation to an old Campbell's facility in Camden. The Philadelphia location was shuttered, and 40 of their 100 employees were let go.
Oh. That's not good.
Yeah, it seems like...
And they were all his kids, too.
He sent them to the orphanage. He was done with them.
Here's a gold watch.
I found the obituary of the last president of the Frank's Soda Company, and it described how the family just kind of wanted to get out of the game. They'd been doing it for 4 or 5 generations at this point, and they were spread so far, so many different desperate groups of family members were involved, that they just kind of wanted to go their own way. It wasn't really...
Yeah. I'm not talking about any specific business, but there's so many, like, Philly... dynasty businesses that are like started by the great grandfather, and now there's like all like these kids who are like trying to get their piece still.
You're
just like so many businesses are like that, you know.
Yeah, I was born into this business, me and 48 other great great grandchildren. So like what kind of piece of it are you gonna get? Do you know, you don't want to.
I know, and they're all like, well, I'm owed this, and they're just like, they're all like junior CEOs and they don't do any work.
Or they want to do their own thing. They want to get into, what's the joke from 30 Rock? They want to get into professional snowboarding. They want to do something else with their lives. Soda no longer interests them. And they couldn't get the next generation interested in it as well. So they sold it off.
What I wouldn't do to be a soda heir,
a cola baron. I've thought about that a lot.
Instead of Tony Trove, you are Tony Surge.
Tony Surge. Yep. Or Tony Tab, as my nickname in the beginning of the
Oh, game. Yeah, that's right. That is what we call you all the
time.
That's
what you guys always call me. Like, guys, stop calling me that. I hate that. Like, all right, Tony Top.
We call you that for a whole week.
It's like seventh grade all over again.
If I was a cola baron, I'd have a swimming pool in the shape of a Coke bottle.
But your family doesn't serve Coke.
No, but that's a classic bottle shape. You know what I mean?
It's a classic bottle.
It's just a classic bottle shape.
Don't they copyright the shape of that bottle? Isn't that their thing?
Oh, maybe they do. You're right. Coke. I think you're right.
Like Coke owns the shape of the Coke bottle. So you better...
You're
going to owe someone some money with that pool of yours.
If my pool is just like the shape of a regular bottle, it's going to be weird.
My pool is a parody of that bottle.
It's an homage.
I'm going to pee in your Coke pool.
Hold on. I don't know where Bierman's going.
He just got up and left.
Did he walk off? Was he disgusted?
He hates that. He hates that joke. He's a Pepsi man. Oh, he's back. Hello.
Oh, I got to cut whatever y'all said.
CNC updated the logo for a more extreme decade. These were the styles that I was talking about earlier. Each flavor received a dedicated color theme. They switched to more modern aluminum cans. Up until this point, they still had the old-fashioned tab tops. And then in like 90, 91, they switched over to, you know, what you think of as a modern soda can.
That was more my Franks.
I much preferred them. When I was
the extreme Franks.
I it's so silly, but it's true. The labeling on the old Franks, the white labels with the red logo and the fruit, just an image of the fruit on it, kind of unappetizingly lit. Was not something I was interested in drinking as a little kid, as a 5, 6, 7, 8 year old. You know, I was like, that's a can that doesn't look interesting to me. I much rather would have a Coke or a Pepsi, which looks sleek and shiny. And then when they finally updated their cans in the 90s, I found myself gravitating towards them. And they were like a bottom shelf soda. You go to the Acme, they'd be on the bottom.
I kind of always remember the cans being like dirty.
Yeah, because they were on the bottom shelf. Well,
they were always like a dirty can, yeah.
So what? You wash the rat poop off of your shirt.
Thanks, Frank.
You know what soda they should bring back?
What?
Pink lemonade Fruitopia in a can.
Oh, man. That's a deep, deep cut.
Yeah, they should.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. Start a letter campaign. Another letter campaign.
CNC also focused their attention on the Jersey suburbs where many ex-Philadelphians now lived. But the groceries...
remember Franks?
White flight killed Franks.
It's the worst thing white flight ever did.
That can't be right.
But groceries unfamiliar with the brand were reluctant to take a chance. Outside of Philly, there just wasn't any interest in the oddly named black cherry sugar water. It didn't make financial sense to make a soda just for one city, and eventually CNC stopped bottling Frank's soda. It looks like they did it less and less and less until 2003.
If it was in New York, they would keep making it. I'll say it. We were all thinking it. Everybody was thinking it, and I'll say it.
Well, Doc Brown's is still around. You can still get a delicious Celray soda.
That's a Vermont soda. Everybody knows that.
You shut it down so quick. He was having none of it.
You're sick of Celray.
I don't know.
I think the last time we talked about this, I looked it up, and Celray was like the second flavor of soda invented. Cola was first, and then Celray was second.
You know, some things should just get rid of from the past.
And Celray is not one of those things.
Top of the list, man. Top of the list, Celray soda.
It complements a lot of things.
It's disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
It's a vegetable soda.
I will say that Celray soda is the superior version of Celray. It's definitely, I enjoy it more than eating Celray.
No.
Right,
peanut butter. peanut butter on celery. That's delicious.
I don't know. It just celery's so fibrous. It just gets caught in my teeth. I'm not about it.
Celery and a corned beef special. Name a more iconic duo.
In 2014, Frank's returned, being bottled and distributed from a plant in Baltimore and sent across our great nation to expatriate restaurants and sandwich shops that cater to transplanted Philadelphians with items like tasty cakes, soft pretzels, hoagies, and cheesesteaks.
It's a local classic.
Yeah, it goes perfect with cheesesteak hoagies.
With mayonnaise and lettuce. Extra mayonnaise.
They only sold cans, and a case of the famous Black Cherry Wishniak cost $70.
$70?
Yes. The fad only lasted a few years, but I found a few articles on newspaper.com about some of these restaurants. And this was the start of Philadelphia's rebranding as a foodie town instead of America's fattest city.
We should go back. We need to go back.
Go take it back to our roots.
Yeah.
John Street rode his bike and got everybody in shape, inspired the whole city to lose 5 pounds.
Thanks to a chain of restaurants called Philly's Best, Frank's were very popular on the West Coast. For a time, it was easier to get a Frank's soda in Southern California than in Southeast Pennsylvania.
Wow.
That's just not right. That's just not right.
It was like brought back as a nostalgia thing. And like even right away, the first time it was brought back, it was like a nostalgia thing. Hey, folks in Jersey. And then it was like a nostalgia thing out in California. Hey, here's a thing you never heard of before. Maybe you'll like it. I don't know. Nobody's ever heard of it before.
That's like one of those, like, how I will say this, like, at times Philadelphians didn't know what was cool about Philadelphia.
Yeah. This is one of those things.
Like, and it's like one of those things.
Losing Frank's.
You're like an outsider to be like, wait a second, that's cool. Like, what? It's cool.
Having your own local soda, your own local brand like that is a big deal. And we held on to it for a long time.
People around here are like, if it's from around here, how could it be any good? Which a lot of people don't realize these days that was the attitude for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
Still is.
No, it isn't. You know, it used to be really like that.
I feel like people appreciate what we got.
Let's go back.
I found an unopened pre-1990 can of Frank's Cola on eBay for between $20 and $80.
You should buy it and drink it on the air.
Drink it.
It's worth it. He said we would do it. We all heard him.
He swore.
I'm going to edit in him saying yes.
Yeah. Hey, Zito, you like Superman?
Wait, what?
You like Superman?
Flavor and condition of the Frank's logo seems to be the most important characteristic when assessing value. So you can find them for real cheap if they're messed up. They're like $20 if they're messed up.
You can get it.
They're $80 if they're unopened and in good condition.
A lot of Frank's soda like crate boxes on eBay. I think I might get one.
Yeah, they look really cool too.
Fill it with celery.
Fill them up with celery, a real soda.
Just to trick everybody.
Black Cherry Wishniak flavor is still produced by local soda brands Hank's and Stewart's.
They also have their own legacies, Hank's and Stewart's.
Yeah,
they
absolutely
have their own. Maybe a different Philadelphia podcast. We'll talk about Stewart's one day.
I'm sure we'll get around to it.
Hank's has a good orange cream.
Yeah, it does. When we first opened the shop, we had a little refrigerator that we were kind of stuck with that was like left behind, and we stocked it with birch beer and Hank's orange and cream.
Why did the massage parlor have a refrigerator in there? I have no idea, but we used it.
We put it to good use.
For the oils.
No, you want the oils to be hot. You don't want them to be cold.
And it went out of business. They weren't a very good massage.
They weren't very good, I guess. So So Hanks and Stewart still produce a Black Cherry Wishniak. They claim to use the exact same formula and ingredients as the original. Stewart's is even bottled in the same plant that Frank's once was.
Ooh. Critics, so it's like the barrel taste. You can still taste that warehouse.
You can still taste the conveyor belt, yeah.
And just like the same Frank's family, it's the same family of rats that have been running on top of all the sodas for decades. And that's what gives it the taste.
Critics swear it doesn't taste the same, but if you close your eyes and pour it in a glass, I hardly think you can taste the difference.
Critics, soda critics.
Nothing will ever be as good as when you were a kid and you didn't have to pay bills. Of course, it's not going to taste as good as that.
Yeah. But now that? Things don't taste the same, though. Remember old people used to say that and we were like, you're crazy. But now it's like, no, they literally,
something
this doesn't
the same.
Taste as good.
Something's
but some
the
things
same.
Don't, though.
Nick's roast beef tastes the same.
That's because they never clean the grill.
How about that? They never get the grill. You're right.
That makes it better.
You're right.
I don't know. I did read that Brussels sprouts were...
That's right.
...re-engineered. They were, you know, spliced and changed to make them more appealing to consumers in the late 90s. So they used to have a much more bitter flavor, and now they have a more robust, full flavor.
They put beef in it. Now it tastes better.
They put bacon in it. I figured they just cooked it differently.
I thought so, too. I thought I just never had it prepared properly. But
do you think there's got to be people who are like, I miss the old Brussels sprouts.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure.
Bring it back. The dirt's not the same. I'm sure that's a thing, too, with, like, wine and shit. There's probably people that are like, this dirt's not the same.
Yeah, it is.
Everything stinks now.
Yeah.
Don't get old.
And then with soda, at least, they did replace the sugar with high fructose corn syrup at a certain point, and it did change the flavor.
The government gives them subsidies.
Yeah. Grow more corn, less fruit.
It has no nutritional value, but it's delicious. Especially popped.
Do you guys have anything you want to add?
I do want to say that if the Eagles lose, we're going to be closed on Monday. But if they win, come by. We'll be open.
We'll be open?
We'll be there.
Okay, that's pretty much all there is to know about Frank's Soda. Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Visit us at 1507 East Patchunk Avenue in Butel, South Philadelphia, Thursday through Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m. Check us out on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We're at South Fellini everywhere. Follow along and join in the conversation. We want to hear from you. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, get boosted, and drink more water.